your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about, to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love. Trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
All right, this thing muted itself. This is really strange. But hello, merry meet. Welcome, everybody. Here's a question to start off the night. Have you ever wished you could dole out some justice to someone who's done you wrong, but you didn't do it because of ethics or you weren't qualified? Well, we're going to be talking about that tonight with my guest, Miss Aida, and her newly released book, Hoodoo Justice Magic. Now, she was born into a family with a long history of spiritual work. Most of her family practiced Santeria, Palo, or Brujeria, or a combination of all three. And she later learned hoodoo from esteemed teachers. And she's a natural medium and hoodoo practitioner, but she's also a U.S. Air Force veteran and a registered nurse. Now, if you're listening live and out of the chat room and have any questions or comments for Miss Aida, please join us at paraxradionetwork.com. And for those of you who only listen to the podcast, I don't know when the live show is on. It's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, so you might want to jump in and join us one of the Thursdays on the way. All right. I know I'm going to run out of time because I have so many different questions, and I'm probably going to get some from the chat room as well. So, Miss Aida, I think it's really good of you to write another book, so I have an excuse to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. Thank you.
Oh, don't be honored. Your book is so good. And this is, it's going to be an interesting talk about the book because it's an interesting book on many levels. And there will be some listeners who do practice justice magic with no qualms about it. And there will be others who bide within the law of three and wouldn't think of doing something to someone that would be taken as negative or not ethical and probably be afraid of getting it back three times bad. So let's start out by touching upon the ethics. I mean, in my world, things are not just black and white, good or bad. You know, there's a gray area there that I prefer to live in. So what do you say to those listening in who think that taking justice into our own hands isn't a good thing?
Well, in my last book, Hoodoo Cleansing and Protection Magic, in the conclusion, I tell a true story that really happened to me. And I share this with as many people as I can. And the story goes like this. So my husband had some cousins. They were actually his mother's cousins. And I was very, very good to them. I mean, very good. I did so much for them and life-changing things for them. I can't even begin to tell you all the good things I did for them. Mm-hmm. And we were virtually inseparable. And when my husband died, I was devastated when I was told, you don't have children, therefore you're no longer a part of this family.
Ouch.
And I thought, you know what? I don't care, right? So that was the end of that. So that cousin was the one who told me. And, you know, she told me in a nice way, but she still made it very clear that I'm no longer part of the family. So she ends up getting cancer, metastatic cancer, and it's everywhere. Everywhere. And she goes to my best friend. My best friend was a OBGYN, you know, an obstetrician gynecologist. And she goes to him under the guise of a pap smear. Now, why the heck would you get a pap smear when you have metastatic cancer?
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, duh. Well, she did it only to get to him, so that he would get to me, because she knew he was, like, really, really Catholic. Okay. I mean, hardcore Catholic. So when she gets done with him, now he knew, you know, they hadn't talked to me in a couple of years. And he calls me and he says, you know, I'm going to make up a name because I don't want to give the real name. He says, you know, Susie came to the office and she was crying and she needs you to be her nurse. Now, we're talking about free nursing care here, right? I'm a master's prepared nurse. So what would an agency charge for that? I don't know what. Back then, $150 an hour, that was back then, right? So he starts quoting all this stuff to me from the Bible. Right? And it was all directed at me. And I got really upset. You know, he was upsetting me because he was making me feel guilty, really guilty. Okay. And Jesus said, turn the other cheek and this and that. And I got to the point, like, I got sarcastic with him. I said, please tell me, you know, I've read the Bible a few times. Please tell me where my name is, because all this stuff seemed to have been directed at me. And I started feeling guilty, really, really guilty. So I go to a Catholic nun and I told her the story, and you know, she was so cute. She passed away a couple of years ago, and Sister Mary Kay, and she's so petite. She's just really petite and soft spoken. And I told her the story. All of a sudden she turns into this monster, right? And she said, when Jesus said to turn the other cheek, he didn't mean to take a beating. He said, you know, give him a couple of chances, right? She says, let me tell you something. She's screaming at me. And she says, let me tell you something. God is in every one of us. And when you let people take advantage of you, you're letting people take advantage of God. And that's the true sin. And she screamed at the top of her lungs, stay away from that woman. And wow, I'll tell you, I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. So, I mean, you know, don't let people take advantage of you.
No. And, you know, see, and again, we have the good and the bad and the gray area. But, you know, I think one form of justice magic, but maybe it's not justice, but maybe it is, that most people might agree upon as being kind of safe, and I'm saying that in quotes, would be what I call an eye for an eye spell, where you just kind of give back what you've received, either by sending it back or casting your own spell in retaliation. What do you think about eye for an eye spell? Is that not good enough?
Absolutely. Okay. The punishment ought to be equal to the crime. And, you know, this is where people make mistakes, right? And, you know, I had cited a couple of stories in my book. And for instance, this guy was dating this girl for a very, very long time, and he dumped her for another woman. Well, the other woman knew nothing. You know, she was my client. You know, the other woman knew nothing of my client. You know, she just met this great guy, and he never mentioned her, blah, 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 blah. And my client found out who she was, and she did all kinds of magic to kill her. And, you know, the woman is very, very powerful. And guess what? The woman died. And she had just had a baby. I mean, it was just awful. Young girl. Well, what happens is now the client is calling me constantly because once she got over her anger, right, she's like, oh, my God, I killed her. And it took her a couple of years to get over it. And you know what? She's still not over it. She's still not over it. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of consequences if the punishment isn't equal to the crime. You know, there's a person that I know that used to tell me, she used to talk down to me. So I wrote the book Cursing and Crossing for, for Lucky Mojo. And she was getting very sarcastic with me, and like she was better than I am. And she says, well, you know, I'm a bruja, and I don't care who I curse, and I don't believe in any of your crap, she said. Okay. In the meantime, she's broke. Her son is suicidal. She's suicidal. Everything that's happening to her is bad luck. And she can't figure it out. Hello, you know, it's like
wake up,
You know, so I mean, there's a lot of situations. Now, for those that are afraid, you know, I've got about around 110 spells in that book. I've got a lot of recipes so that you're not going out and spending a fortune on products and all that. Everything you need, except for candles, if you're going to do candle magic, everything you need is basically in your kitchen and or outside, right? But for those, and you know, I wanted to cover everybody because I've had a lot of people tell me that they're afraid to cast a spell because they're afraid of this, afraid of that, or religious implications. Well, as most of you know, that psalms are basically spells. So psalms are in the Hebrew Bible, which is our the Christian Old Testament. And there are a lot of psalms that are designed specifically for specific situations. So there's actually three psalms that are designed for cursing. And why can you do this if you're afraid to do anything else? Because you're asking God, you're telling God. I always tell people when you pray, and I've got other prayers in there also, and other saints and entities, you know, good entities that you can pray to or petition, right? And always, always, always tell them the situation. You know, and it's really interesting because what did God say? God said, well, it's in the Bible. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord, right? So if you're, if you pray one of the three psalms that are designed for cursing, then what's going to happen? God is going to dish out the punishment that God believes is deserved. And so if it's more than what was done to you, then there were extenuating circumstances that you didn't know about. And I'll give you an example. I cast a spell for this lady and I had her, she was a fortune teller. And she came to me, you know, she's not a, a practitioner. She's just a fortune teller. And she came to me and she said, you know, can you break up this guy with my daughter? And she's telling me how horrible he is. And because she was a fortune teller, I said, I'll tell you what, you know, why don't you come to my house? I did it for free, which I'll never do again. Okay. And I'll tell you why I'll never do it again. So I, you know, I did all this stuff. I had, I cast the circle, and a lot of hoodoo practitioners will cast the circle. A lot of them don't. It's not necessary, but I like to do it. Okay. And I put her in the circle and I did a psalm. I prayed a psalm. I can't remember which one specifically. And I told God what this man you know, how this man was emotionally abusive to this girl. You know, please, you know, get them away from each other. Now, this had nothing to do with me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't say I want him dead or I want this or I want that. I asked for nothing. I told God what happened and please, please protect this girl from this man.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, about 3 weeks later, the psychic or a fortune teller, she calls me and she told me off. She called me every name in the book and she said that he ended up in prison. He was arrested and ended up in prison. And I asked her, at what point did I ever say that in my prayer to God? Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously God knew a lot more than what I knew. So sometimes when you do prayers to entities, right, the punishment may not be equal to the crime that was committed towards you, but the entity may be aware of other crimes. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if someone beat me up and I wanted them beaten up and then I find out that this person beat up 20 people and killed one person, or I don't know this, mm-hmm. and then they end up dead or in prison or whatever, that's because these entities, you know, God or whomever we're praying to, knew more than what I knew.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got a couple things about karma that we should kind of talk about, because you know, where does karma enter into this? Because you explained, like you just said, that the punishment must be proportionate to the crime. And if not, there will be some harsh karmic payback to the one who casts a spell. Mm. And I had a guest on a long time ago who practiced Santeria. And someone in chat asked her if she wasn't afraid to, you know, curse or hex somebody. And her answer was that she was willing to accept the consequences of her actions if need be, but it didn't deter her from taking justice into her own hands. Is that kind of how you feel or you know?
No, because for me in Santeria is basically a mixture of the saints and the African Yorubic mm-hmm. entities, right? So Santeria, you know, the worship of saints, right?
Right, right.
And it I don't know who she is, and I'm not criticizing her or anything, but this is the same thing. If I need to go to one of my Orishas, you know, and I use the term Orishas or saints interchangeably, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I go to one of them and I say, look, this is what so-and-so did to me, it's still the same. It still goes along with what I've said about the Psalms and prayers to God and mm-hmm. entity. So, it doesn't work that way with me. You know, mm-hmm. when I go to the Orishas, I tell the Orishas what this person has done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, please, please, you know, make sure, you know, they get the punishment that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Santeria, and in hoodoo, practitioners do not believe in karma. However, I do, because I've seen it happen. I've seen, you know, when people do things on an ongoing basis that sometimes they get what they dish out,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Other times they don't. And here's the problem. There's other times that they don't. Okay, I know people that have screwed over one person after another person after another person after another person, and they shine like the sun,
mm-hmm.
and nothing can touch them. So what's going on here? They have a very, very, very strong aura, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My other educated guess is if they're evil, they're protected by evil entities,
mm-hmm.
okay? That, you know, always crosses my mind.
Good point.
You know, I know somebody that was related to me by marriage, and what a rotten, dirty, rotten SOB. And I cannot tell you how many people he screwed over. And he lived a charmed life. The only justice I found, and it wasn't even consoling, is that during the last day of his life, he had air hunger, and he was just like dying for air.
Yeah, that's horrible.
How long did that last? I mean, how long did that last? I mean, it's that to me, that nowhere near pays him for his 65 years of messing people up and screwing people over. So sometimes I don't see karma.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit around and say, well, and this is another thing I hear all the time is, well, don't worry. When they die, God will take care of them.
Well,
that doesn't make me feel better.
Mm-mm.
You know, it doesn't make me feel better at all. You think I'm going to sit around and wonder? I mean, you know, as a Catholic, I can give a counter argument and I can say all that person has to say is, God, please forgive me. And that person's forgiven. I mean, if you want to go the religious route.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. But I do believe if you cast a lot of negative spells impetuously, I do believe it can come back and bite you in the ass.
Okay, here's another question about karma. If we do justice spell on karma, if we do a justice spell on somebody, would that interfere with their personal karma?
Okay, and I do explain this in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sometimes when we perform justice magic. And I give a whole bunch of reasons in towards the end of the book of why the spell didn't work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is that it may interfere with their karma.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being protected by their guardian angels.
Okay. All right. I've got a question from the chat room, so I better get to it before it rolls away. She says that you're saying that, just moved on me, that you're tapping into a big Akashic field and is just nudging the situation to action?
Yeah, exactly.
That was
easy. Like the way that's been phrased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's good.
I mean, that's not even a question. I wish I had known this person. I would have put that in my book. That's perfect. I love it.
I'm sure she'll allow it, and you can put it in any other book you want. Okay. Now, you know, all this is talking about spells and everything. It brings us to the question of black magic versus white magic, and I'm going to throw my two cents in by saying that everyone has their own sense of what is right and what is wrong. So I don't think of magic as black or sinister or white as all love and light. I mean, I believe that magic just is. And, you know, what we think is good, somebody might think is not good, you know, so it's kind of hard to put a label on it. So what are your thoughts about that?
I agree with you 100%. Everybody's got their own, you know, opinions, but I don't, my belief, not my belief, but my thought process, because I don't believe in white versus dark.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Okay. All through my life, I've always associated black magic with devil, you know, when satanic worshipers that cast bad spells. That's what I've always considered black magic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in hoodoo, you know, they say that a two-handed doctor or a two-headed doctor will perform good spells and, you know, I shouldn't say good, positive magic and negative magic.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the hoodoo practitioners only practice positive magic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sheriff of something county that died, and he was learning hoodoo himself. This was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And his belief was that if someone practiced both, that their spells were weaker. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe that at all.
No.
You know, I do believe that excessive for me. For me, I'm not speaking for everybody else, but you know, I don't take on a lot of spell work because they tire me out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be positive or negative.
Yeah.
But I don't relate to the white magic and the black magic. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's see. The spells in your book, you cover things like something as simple as sending enemies away or binding them from doing or saying something harmful, you know, to curse and hex and the like. But you got my interest from the very start because you took the time to talk about the different types of enemies that we may encounter, because it's good to know who your enemy's modus operandi are in order to create magic that will really work. So can you explain a little further? Because I think it's important that people know what to do and for who and why.
Okay, I'm sorry, Marla. I don't understand the question.
Okay. All right.
That was a long one. I'm glad I'm not in a courtroom. I'd be like, you know, counselor, I don't understand the question.
We're talking about different types of enemies in the book. You were okay. telling people
right,
about
right.
that. And
right.
so it's good to know, you know, what type of enemy it is before you decide to create the magic that would really work for you.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
So explain you know, that a little bit.
We got all kinds of enemies. I mean, the list goes on forever. We got people that want to steal, you know, I mean, and especially in this day and age, you know, there's this environment of feelings of entitlement. And, you know, that's existed in all generations for thousands of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it seems to be exacerbated right during these times. And scientists have even said that we are creating more sociopaths. And for those of you that don't know, who have not read any of my books, a psychopath and a sociopath have the same behaviors. The difference is a psychopath is born with the wiring is wrong. Okay, so a psychopath is born this way. A mm-hmm. sociopath is made. Okay, mm-hmm. so environmental factors, right?
Yeah.
And scientists are now saying that in the USA that it has blossomed, if you will, to 25% of the American population are sociopaths. And mm-hmm. you've got a lot of characteristics, right? And, you know, I have those in the book, but, you know, they're another class of people that are entitled. They feel entitled to what you have. So they could be entitled. They feel entitled to have your job status or your mm-hmm. job. You know, mm-hmm. and they'll do anything to undermine you and take away what you have so they can get your job or get you fired, right? You mm-hmm. got people that are trying to take away your partner, okay? Mm-hmm. They want your partner and they don't really care how long you've been invested with your partner. They don't care about the history. They want the partner. They're just going to do everything they can to take it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are people that want to take away your social status. Did you ever see the Betty something? I forgot her name right now. She went to prison. She went to prison, and it's been very, very controversial from the very beginning. All the detectives that were on the case, all the policemen, almost all, the psychiatrists, the psychologists, have a very, very hard time relating to, you know, accusing her of being a murderer, even though she is. So mm-hmm. what happened was she, Betty Broderick, Betty mm-hmm. Broderick, you guys
okay.
gotta look her up or see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that poor woman. So she puts, I can't remember which came first. She busts her butt putting her husband through medical school.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she busts her butt putting him through law school because now he wants to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She puts him through all of this, right? And in the meantime, she has kids. So she's working, she's raising the kids, and all he's doing is going to school, right? So mm-hmm. then he becomes like a hotshot attorney, and he has an affair with the paralegal. And just like that, he's going to dump her. And the paralegal was sending her notes telling her that she was fat, she was this, nasty, nasty stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He ends up taking custody of the children, right? She ends up with nothing. And that woman, the paralegal, ends up taking away all her friends. All the friends went to them. And I talk about this in many of my books, is that when people try to take away your social status or your friends, the ones that you expect to support you, instead you'll be met with apathy, right? So she had had enough. I mean, he just decreased her allowance, took away her house, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in the middle of the night, she came and shot them both, shot and killed them.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that she goes to court, it was a hung jury. And the second time, the prosecutor changed the, you know, the tactics, mm-hmm. and they put her in prison. But, you know, I'm one of those people, and I don't care. I don't care that I say it. I think, you know, she was, you know, I mean, murder is a terrible, terrible thing, but they drove her nuts. And they kept taunting her and taunting her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much that a human being can take. But, you know, the example is here, this woman took away not only her husband and her money, but her social status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you've got people that they steal, they rob you. They'll steal you. I mean, you've got everything. I've talked about cults. Mm-hmm. I've talked about, you know, and people are under the misconception that cults are of a religious nature only. No.
No, they're not. Yeah.
You know, they can exist everywhere. I cited it in the book, you know, occult behaviors in a dog club. You know, a dog training club.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere.
Exactly. We've got to take a quick break, so I think everybody needs to stay put with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from schifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
New Aeon Now. News and discussion of the metaphysical, the occult, the paranormal, and much, much more. With your hosts, New Aeon High Priestess Reverend Lily Alley, head of the Draken chapter of the Order of Paranormal Exploration, Christine Matza. The New Aeon is now. Join us every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for New Aeon Now.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Okay, my guest tonight is Miss Aida, and we are talking about her new book, Voodoo Justice Magic. And there's a chat room question that came in just before the break, and I'm scrolling all the way back down to find it. Okay, she says, when doing the spell work for others, aren't you taking on their karma for the deed?
Well, I don't think so. When I perform these types of spells, again, I explain to the entities what has happened. And I also state to the entities if the spell is justified. I also state to the entities without harming others.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never taken on anything. It's a very, very good question. But, you know, it's also very important that when performing negative spells for others that you do a reading first, because mm-hmm. you don't know if this person is lying to you. You don't know if this person is exaggerating. You don't know if this person is imagining things, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You got to find out. I can't tell you how many times I've laid out the cards and my spirits have said, liar, you know, and I won't do the spell. You know, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to be really, 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 their stories have to make me cry before I'll do it.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So what are some of the worst mistakes people make when practicing justice magic? I'm guessing that, like, enraged spell casting might be right up there in number one bad thing to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at the example I gave earlier about this girl killing the girlfriend, mm-hmm. you know. You ought to be mad. You really ought to be mad. So, you know, what I suggest to people is to not do anything right away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sit on it. And, you know, a lot of times with me, I'll forget about it. So it really wasn't that important. But there's, you know, others that a month later, a couple of months later, I'm still upset with what they've done to me or what they've done to others, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now it's given me time. So, you know, it's given me time to strategize. And I say this over and over in my book, you know, and I even have a chapter on it. What's your strategy? So don't be performing spells right away. And, you know, if it's a bad, bad, bad spell, think about it. Write down, and what are the consequences? You got to think about who else is involved,
yeah.
right? So, you know, that's why I say without harming others. You got to think about protecting yourself. And this is not karma. Now we're talking about energies, okay? Mm-hmm. You're outputting negative energies. And a lot of those energies, they stick around. So you have to protect yourself and then cleanse the area. The other thing that can happen, even when you're praying the cursing psalms, you will attract the attention of negative entities. So that's why you need to protect yourself when you're performing these type of spells. You know what? I even tell people to protect themselves when they're performing love spells, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times have I heard over and over and over? I mean, not 100, not 200 times. You know, I did this spell on John Doe, and now I'm more in love with him than I ever have been. Well, that's because you were in the line of fire, meaning you exposed yourself to those energies without protecting yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't cleanse the energy, the area. So it applies to both positive and negative. Nah, if you're doing a success spell or something like that, no, you want those energies around. But when you have a target, protect yourselves. Petitions. Commands, they are the biggest mistake people make is what they state and what they write. And I give examples in the book of improper commands, petitions, whatever you call them, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
improper ones versus proper ones. So, you know, I give it, you know, lots and lots of examples. And, you know, like for one would be, oh, John Doe will suffer. You know, that's a bad way to have a command, okay? Because
yeah.
that word can be open to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You have to say things like, he will, you know, suffer the way he made me suffer, right? So, mm-hmm. and you have to be specific. So you have to consider the other things too. So if I want to hurt somebody really bad, does he have a family? Does he have children? You know, I always say he, it could be she, right? Mm-hmm. Who am I hurting? I mean, is his wife a cripple that she depends on him for, you know, for to feed her and the children and the rent? You got to think about all these things before you perform a negative spell work. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do warn people about are freezer spells. Uh-oh. Okay. I'm very, very, first of all, I want to say something to the audience. I have received 3 clients this week who are now telling me that they are being improperly magically coached into performing freezer spells, anything to do with a freezer, to make the person that they love them more. All it does is freeze them out of your life. And it mm-hmm. happened in all 3 situations. So please, please be very, very careful what you watch on YouTube or what you pay a practitioner to tell you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I warn about freezer spells. So let's say, Marla, and I love you, Marla, but I'm going to use you as an example. Okay. Let's say I work for you. I work at this radio station, right? And I can't stand you. So I put you in a freezer spell, right, to freeze you out of my life. Mm-hmm. You got to think about the consequences because I may lose my job, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I froze you out of my life. So you got to think about the consequences of each spell that you're performing along with your petition.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. I learned the hard way years ago when I did a freezer spell on somebody just to bind them, just to, you know, whatever. And they were in there for a really long time, and I totally forgot. And then all of a sudden I read something about that's not a really good thing to do. So I thawed them out, all right? And I've told this story before, so people that you've already heard it, you know, talk to yourself for a minute. So a friend of mine ran into this person that I froze, and she hadn't seen her in quite a long time. And she said when she saw her in the store, that woman looked horrible. She just looked like something the cat dragged in. And so my friend says, oh my God, you know, are you ill or, you know, I mean, you know, you just don't look like you're very well. And she says, well, I did come down with diabetes, but she says, you know, it's more than that. She says, it feels like somebody put a spell on me.
Wow.
And when she, you know, when I, that got back to me, I'm like, oh, no more of those, you know, but I mean, sometimes you learn the hard way. I mean, the woman is still all these years later alive and well, but it, you know, unfreezing her, took a toll on her. I mean, it wasn't good. So I agree with you about freezer spells in that respect as well.
Right, right. So, and note to self, don't get Marla Brooks mad at me. Okay. Continue on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. I won't do that. So, all right. So if someone is new to Justice Magic, what are
I just add one thing?
Sure, of course.
About the freezer. So, yeah. I just want to talk about one other thing about the freezer, and it's very, very important. So if you're doing a love spell or, you know, you're saving someone's personal concerns, like their sperm or their vaginal secretions or mm-hmm. Hair or, you know, don't put them in the freezer to use them at another time. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people, you know, I used to be the administrator of a forum that had hundreds of thousands of visitors, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were told, and it was wrong. They were told to, well, if you've got their semen and you don't want to use it on the spell right now, freeze it. No, 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 no. you are freezing that person out of your life. Mm-hmm. So don't do that. You can put it in a refrigerator, but don't freeze it. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, I'd like to hear what you're talking about. Another chat room question. Suppose someone casts a spell with all their heart and really mean it, but afterwards has second thoughts about doing it. Can a spell put in motion be retracted?
Yes, it can be. But, you know, in a situation like that, and it's something that I don't like to hear, okay, I cite mistakes that I've made, and, you know, I'll be 66 next month, okay, and I was born and raised in all of this, so it isn't like I just recently learned this stuff, but you got to be 1 million trillion billion percent sure of who you're placing these spells on. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what happens with most of us, and it'll never happen to me again, is that we end up feeling sorry for people. We watch their suffering. It's like, oh, let me undo this. Okay. And all you're doing is opening up a Pandora's box. And I do want to tell you a quick little story. I tell it in the book too. Okay. There was a woman that lived near me, and she was just like horrible to everybody. She was just a horrible, horrible woman. So I put her in a mirror box, and then I put the mirror box in the freezer. Now, she did not know that I was the one who did it, right? Mm-hmm. And things started going bad, started going downhill for her. Everything was going downhill. And she was calling me because she knew I was a witch. And she called me crying and crying like every couple of hours, and this happened and that happened. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, mind you, when I did this, all I said when I put her picture in that mirror box is everything she's done wrong, let it bounce back to her. And I stuck mm-hmm. that in the freezer, right? And, oh, my God, all these horrible, horrible, horrible things were happening to her. And she's crying, and she becomes very humble and begging me and begging me to help her, unbeknownst to her that I'm the one that did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after about 3 weeks, I couldn't take it anymore. I just felt so sorry for her. And at the time, my mother was alive, right? And I said, I'm going to undo this. You know, this is enough punishment. And my mother said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And, you know, my mother, for those of you who know me, my mother was Cuban, right? And she goes, you be sorry, stupida. And my one refrigerator with, you know, the small freezer was in the garage. And I had the garage door open. Well, when I tell you in the book how to do a mirror box, and what I do is I put a lot of duct tape around it so they're really enclosed. And I undid the duct tape, you know, with scissors and everything. And I opened the mirror box, and I swear on the Holy Bible, the energy that came out of there was like, whoa, and I stumbled. That's how hard it hit me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that within 2 days, she wasn't back to normal? She was worse than she ever had been.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. So now what happened? Now, if I want to place another spell on her, and I also talk about this in the book, you know, I doubt that the entities will help me, because I've showed them that I wasn't sincere in my spell. So when you cast a negative spell, you got to be 100 million trillion zillion percent sure. I know there's no such thing as more than 100% because then it becomes lesser. But, you know, I'm just exaggerating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to be a zillion percent sure that this person is absolutely deserving. So if you think the person isn't deserving to begin with, yeah, you might get some karmic effects from that.
Mm-hmm.
You might just do it. So you got to be 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the book, I mean, you've got so much information packed into that book. I mean, very very good, helpful hints, like how to protect yourself when entering a graveyard, to get some graveyard dirt, and all types of graves to approach. I never thought about that. Binding spells, cursing and hexing, candle spells, how to make your own coffin nails. I mean, you've got it all.
No, I don't have any death spells in there, and I explain to the readers, you're reading this book, you're not dead, so I'm not providing any death spells. Mm-hmm. So I have everything under the sun except death spells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So if someone is new to Justice Magic, are there some bare essentials that they need to know to get them started?
Well, you know, like I explained in the book, your altar in hoodoo. And let me go back. There are beautiful, beautiful, elaborate altars, just absolutely stunning. But when I talk about hoodoo, we're talking about slaves in the olden days. They didn't have much to work with, right? Mm-hmm. Your altar can be the ground. Your altar can be a barbecue grill. Your altar can be anything, okay? And, you know, your bare essentials, you got to have the right herbs, right? You got to have the right ingredients. Candles are nice. And I give so many recipes that I think the most expensive thing that you're going to buy is the candle, if you are performing any type of candle magic. I've got a whole bunch of spells in there that don't require candles. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got such simple spells in there that are very effective, very effective. Mm-hmm. So your bare essentials are really the bare essentials. You got the ground, okay, you've got your altar. You know what I'm saying? You've got needles, pins, needles, stones, you know, things you can get in your kitchen or in your backyard or out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't realize that. I mean, yes, you're talking about elaborate altars. There are some really beautiful ones, but they don't work any different than, you know, a stick and a rubber band. I mean, you know, it just...
Right.
Yeah, it's what you put into it. It's your intention and all that. And,
your energy.
Your energy, yeah. So, okay, people do this in different ways, but we get a lot of questions about how do you raise energy? And some people talk about rubbing their hands together, making an energy ball. What do you do to raise your energy?
What do I do to raise my energy? Mm-hmm. I always picture all this like electrical charges, but I view them, you know, as, you know, electricity. If you ever see currents, right? And I view all that electricity coming up through my body, up and into my hands and your voice. Sound is energy. Now, someone had knocked me in a chat room. I did something, and it was only one person, right? And the question was, if when you perform positive energy, do you get tired? And I said, yes. And that person says, no. You know, you're supposed to get all this positive energy back. No, because I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still yelling. Sound is energy. I'm still outputting this energy from my body into my hands, into the tools that I'm touching when I'm screaming. Okay. That'll tire anybody out. Mm-hmm. So I forgot the question.
And I was looking at the chat room and I forgot it too. So, I'll throw you another question then. Is Justice Magic for everyone? Or are there people that shouldn't?
Well, no, I think it's for everyone. And as we know, the legal system doesn't help us the way it was designed to do. Look at that guy. What state was that in? I keep talking about it, but it just blows me away. He drove a truck through a parade or something. Mm-hmm. Remember this about 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And he killed like either 9 or 11 people.
Yeah.
And they let him out on bail for $1,000. Where's the justice?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, and that's the whole point. Sometimes, you know, I think that some people would rather not have to use a just a spell, but there are times that it's there. I mean, you know, you get so frustrated and banging your head against the wall because something should have been done, and you know, so you do take it into your own hands.
Look at all the people that are bullied, you know, bullied for this or that, or group attacks. You know, there's always a leader of the group that gets the other, you know, people in the group to make the person, the victim, they're scapegoating, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't call the cops on that, okay? Mm-hmm. But you're constantly being bullied and berated and harassed and laughed at. I can't call the police because a group of people laughed at me. I can't call the police because I started a club and somebody came along and turned everybody against me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call the police. What's the justice? I mean, are you going to let people do this to you? You ought not let people do this to you.
Yeah.
You know, so I always walk away, and I just walk away from bad situations and bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wait. I wait longer than others do. I wait months before I plan my revenge. The other thing, too, is if you're, let's just say, Marla, that I'm really, really mad at you,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I tell you that I'm going to get you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to have all this protection up because
mm-hmm.
you know I'm going to be, you know, placing magic on you. So you got to wait until that person's guard is down and they forget about you, right? That's the best time. You know, I talk about military. I talk about military strategies
mm-hmm.
in the book. Obviously, I have to because I'm an Air Force veteran, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, the same strategies apply.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's another mistake you can make, too, is to announce to people, you know, I'm not going to tell everybody I hate Marla Brooks. I'm going to put a spell on her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you. Keep your mouth shut. I mean, if an army was attacking another army, they're not going to go around telling everybody that we're going to, you know, it's always a sneak attack. And that's how you got to practice your magic also. And if you're afraid, then pray. There's a zillion prayers in there. Just
yes.
pray.
I think it's a great book. Everybody should get it. And since time is flying by really, really bad, give out your website. Because there are tons of information there about your books, your services, and a whole lot more.
MissAida.com, MissAida.com. And I do a half-hour live event every other Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, and that's Miss Aida Psychic. So come like my Facebook page and join me on my live events.
Yeah, join the chat room. Reverend Tim is in there, and I pop in, and a lot of good people are in there. So, yes, go do it because she has a really good thing going there. All right, we got to go. So thank you. Thank you for coming in. It's always a pleasure to have you. And, you know, we don't need a book for you to come back. How's that?
Thank you.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you. It was an honor. Thank you.
And let's thank all the listeners as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
The circle be open, but unbroken. May the peace of the goddess be ever in your heart. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.